one day.
Good morning. My name is Reverend Anderson Jemmett. I'm the minister in charge of the Prerogative Nazarene Worship Center. And the pleasure is mine to be with you this Sunday morning and to share with you a part of my testimony and the Word of God. Let me thank Federal Mode Spears and the Church of the Nazarene for this opportunity. My prayer is that God would bless your business, my brother, as you continue to give support to his work. May you and your family continue to be blessed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you praise and I give you thanks. I pray, Holy God, that you would anoint these lips of clay and that you would speak to our hearts as only you can. You have promised that anything we ask the Father in your name, you will do it. I've come to the place, Heavenly Father, where I recognize that all of these promises are conditional. So I pray, Divine God, this morning, help me to meet the conditions so that my praise would be answered in the name of Jesus. Bless every listener this morning. May their lives, O God, be inspired as they seek to follow, as they seek to worship, as they seek to know you in Jesus' precious name. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Let me read verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This morning, before I get into the word, God's willing, I like to share a short part of my testimony in the last 3 years with you. I have been diagnosed with cancer in 2019, and it was devastating. When I spoke to my family, I honestly broke down. But God has been my help in ages past. He's still my help today. The reason I choose this verse this morning is because there are some things you go through in your life. If you don't know Christ, you might end it all. My life for the last 3 years has been very challenging, to say the least. But it has taught me some things over the years. One of those days, while I was here in my bed laying down, I was looking through one of my journals, and I came across a preacher who was sick. On his sick bed, he said if he had to preach the word again, he would preach it differently. I don't know how he preached it then, but I want to be sure that when I preach this word, I preach it with conviction. Let me fast forward to 2023. In 2023, I had a funeral, and when we went over to the Anglican church and I was on the burial ground, while the priest was doing the burial, I began having some pains. Somebody brought me a chair to sit in, but the pain increased. Pain increased to the sense that they had to take me to my daughter's vehicle. She drove me to the church to get my belongings. When I got out of the car, I could scarcely stand. I tried to sit down, but there was so much pain. Made my way back to the car and she drove me home. It was a rough ride going home because every area in the road that was not smooth, I felt the pain. I was glad when I got home. I got out of that car. I was in so much pain. I walk up the stairs on my, what we would call, all fours, hands. And when I got to the top of the stairs, I flattened out on the floor and rolled from side to side. My clothes the same way. In so much pain. I finally got some medication. And I went to sleep. I woke up in the morning as though nothing had happened, feeling very good. My daughter would have gone on to work, and my granddaughter would have gone on to college, and my wife and I was at home. And I sat at my table having breakfast all alone. Then I heard a voice saying, I wanted to kill you. I look around from the side where the voice came from. I saw no one. I look back, nobody. But that voice said, I wanted to kill you. My response was, devil, you are not going to kill me. I am not going to die from cancer. I was bold enough to say, could I tell you that from there on, it was like all hell broke out. I went through so much. When I was at the hospital, they told me, look, the only thing we can do for you is to give you chemo. I hated that name. I dreaded that name. But as far as they were concerned, there was no other choice. And I decided to take it. I remember one of my former members from another church would have called me and she was speaking. And in her speaking, she spoke about one of her friends that had cancer. And she was supposed to go through chemo. And she told her, no, don't go through it. But she went through the chemo and she died. And I find it difficult as to how to tell her that I'm about to take chemo. But yes, I did. And then I heard the snuffling. And she said, Pastor, I gone. I heard in her voice, they said, hold it, sis. Why are you crying? She said, Pastor, I gone. Called me back later and said, Pastor, you are a real man of faith. You are a real man of faith. Look, I went through that chemo and they told me what would happen. I would lose my hair, my fingers would turn black, all of these things. It was not a pleasant thing going through 6 rounds of chemo. A doctor friend of mine told me, look, this chemo is going to kill out everything, the good, the not so good, and the bad. And then you have to start to relive your life. You have to start building back up. I went through that process. When I would have gone through that process, I remember the nurses at the hospital asking me a question, what is my favorite color? When the 6 rounds was over, they came and they sang, they say, you made it through. Yeah, I made it through. I remember sometimes I was in so much pain during that process. Pain on every hand, pain on every side. Like one writer would have said, I buckle up in the pain. As a matter of fact, I have a friend whose wife would have gone through the same stuff. He said, when I saw her, the way that she was buckled up like a fetus because of the pain that she was going through. Oh, coming on to the end of 23, I regained my strength and everything seems to be building back. But you know, I was at a funeral on the same burying ground on June the next year. It started June 24, and June the next year, I came down again. They said, we don't want to give you any more chemo. I remember going through so much pain. And the nurse that was doing some work, or that is doing some work for the university, when she would have gotten my name, she would have called me because she saw me in hospital, bent over in the wheelchair in pain, and she asked me how I was doing. I said, I'm doing all right. She said, what about the pain? I said, what pain? She said, Pastor, when I saw you, you were in so much pain. I said, oh, that, all of this is gone. She said, that was not the chemo. That was not medical science. That had to be divine intervention. I thank God this morning for divine intervention. In 2024, things seem to start all over again. I was privileged when I was feeling good to accept the invitation to go to Trinidad to one of my colleagues' wedding. And I left home feeling good. And when I got at the airport, signing and everything was going good. And when they started to walk to immigration, all of a sudden, the pain started. One of my sisters who was in a wheelchair, they said, Pastor, you can't walk like that. Let me give you the wheelchair and I'll walk. I went off to Trinidad and I endured the pain. Attended that wedding. When it was time for the greeting, and I got to the bride and reached out my hand. She took back hers. And it seemed as though the pain increased. But then she reached up both hands and gave me a hug. She said, Pastor, I visited your church. She's not Barbadian. I visited your church and you prayed for me and God healed me. And I'm saying, Lord, I would love you to heal me now. I came back to Barbados. And the pain and everything increased. Some of my colleagues decided, you stay home, we'll take over the church for you. I thank God for that. Why am I saying all of this? I went through that period and went back to church All Year's Night. And I've been back in church ever since then. But there is something about knowing God. Because there were times during that process when there were so many voices speaking, telling you to do this and telling you to do that. I remember in there, and the voice said to me, jump through that window and end it all. And I tell the devil he's a liar. Let me go back. I remember some years saying to the Lord, Lord, I made a vow to praise you. I made a vow to worship you. During my period of sickness, and I'm still having some issues, but during that period, there was so much pain. To breathe, it was pain. But whenever I could get out anything, it was thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise you. Because I decided I'm going to keep my vows. Whether I'm in good health or not, I'm still going to praise him. I don't know what vows you would have made to Almighty God. I like to suggest to you that you pay your vows unto Almighty God. Keep that. I've gone through that period of sins. I'm going through it. But I thought about it when I was asked about this program this morning. The Bible tells us that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, there's a part. Let me share this. Because I was home alone one day and I heard the dogs barking and the voice at the gate. I eased myself down the staircase, went to the front and opened the window. When I opened the window, the guy said, Anderson, I need help. I called him by his name. I said, do you know I'm sick? He said, yes, I know you are sick, but I need help. I could not have turned him away. I tell him, come. I opened the door and he came in and sat down. And for about 1 hour, I talked to him. I talked Jesus to him. He related to me how he got in his vehicle and he went by a friend. And the friend asked him if he wanted a spliff. For those of you who don't know what a spliff is, that was a marijuana joint to smoke. He said, no, I don't want it. He was searching for something. He got back in his van and started to drive. He told me that a voice said to him, go to Anderson now. Go to Anderson now. He came. When I got through praying for him, et cetera, he said, now I feel different. Now I feel like a different person. He went and I went back up the stairs. By that time, my daughter would have gotten home. And I went back up the stairs and I sat on my bed and I took up my phone. By the time I sat on my bed, pain started hitting me all over again. I cried out louder than I have cried during the previous time. My wife and my daughter heard it run and says, what is wrong? Everywhere my body seems to hurt me. I didn't even want it to touch me. And this in between their voice said, you're not going to stop messing with me. And I said, devil, if I had to do it all over again, I will do it. Hallelujah. I've made up in my mind that whatever God wants me to do, I'll do it. That's why I choose this portion of scripture. I want to know you, Lord. And not having an awareness of you, not having the head knowledge of you, not hearing somebody talk about you. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you personally. I want to know you through relationship. There are people that speaks about persons that they never met. And you would have thought that while listening to them, that they met the person. They only heard, they read about the person, but they didn't know it. I am convinced that there are many in Christendom today who read about Jesus, who view the crucifixion probably on television, who sing about Jesus, but never really met him. I don't know if any of you in the hearing of my voice, this applies to any of you. But what I do know is that God is able to do abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think or desire. I don't just want to know about Jesus. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformed unto his death. I want to know this Christ in the power. I want to know him. Hallelujah. The same power that raised Christ from the dead. I want that power in my life. Yes, power to heal the sick. I remember going into the supermarket. I tell him I was feeling good too. And a man approached me and asked me if I know him. I said, no. He said, you're the man that healed me from prostate cancer. Oh, God. I said, give God the glory. I'm not the healer. God is the healer. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm diagnosed with this thing. I need your healing. I need your deliverance. The first thing that came back was my voice. The first thing that came back was my voice. And heaven knows that I need this voice in my prayer time. I need this voice in my worship time. I need this voice to speak the word of Almighty God, to encourage somebody, to let somebody know that greater is he that is in them, according to the word of God, than he that is in the world. Look, the greater is in us. Sometimes I question myself. One of our young men asked me a question, Pastor, do you think that God is using you like Job? I laugh. I said, I don't know. That was a big bracket to put me into. I know Job went through his suffering. I know Job went through his pain. I know Job went through a process in his life when he had to be like scaling off the balls. And in the midst of this, Job has some friends. Job has some friends that were not pleasant to him at all, because all Job tried to tell them that he did not sin against God. They were saying to Job, God would not have done this to you unless you would have sinned against him. I hear people talk about God putting sickness on people. I don't believe God put sickness on anybody. I don't believe God put cancer on me. If God put cancer on me, why am I going to the hospital? Why am I going to the doctor to get healing? Why are you going to the doctor if God put it on you? I remember the story of a woman given by an evangelist, radio evangelist. He said a woman came into his prayer line for prayer. And she said, I want you to pray for me. Take this thing off of me. She said, God place it on me. He said, Lord, give her a double portion. He said, no, 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 I want you to take it off. He said to her, if God put it on you, why do you want me to take it off? Just proving to her that it is not God that put it on her, but there's a devil that comes to kill her and to steal and to destroy. I firmly believe it. He wants to rob you of your joy, rob you of your health, rob you of your peace of mind, rob you of your finances. How many who are called by the name of Christ is constantly spending and spending and spending and spending with doctors? Oh, how can we believe God to heal us in this day, to bring about deliverance in our lives in this day? I pray that we will have come to the place in our life where we are willing not to give up, but begin to speak. The word of God reminds us in Mark 11 and verse 23, that if you have faith, you will speak to yonder's mountain. Hallelujah. You will say to it, be removed and cast into the sea. Oh, God is saying to us, we need to speak to our mountains. We need to speak to our situations. I'm learning. I'm learning how to speak to every situation confronting my life. Let it know I'm no longer coming to God and asking God to remove it, because God has given me the authority. God has given the church the authority, hallelujah, over all the works of the devil. Whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. We need to learn, how to give command now. We have been beggars for too long. We've been begging God to come and do this. God gave us the authority. We need to take that authority seriously and begin to speak to our infirmities, speak to our sicknesses, speak to the devil. No longer, Lord, the devil is on my case. I want you to know, you get up and do something about it. Speak to it in the name of Jesus Christ, that I may know him this morning, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Let me say it again. I want to know him. I want to know him. If there was ever a time that I want to know him, it is now. I've learned some things in the last 3 years by going through a period of affliction that makes me hold on to it and don't let go. I don't intend to let go. I don't intend to give up, but to hold on to the word of Almighty God. Stand fast. Be what God says that we are in him. We are overcomers through him. Hallelujah, because we overcame by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb of Christ. I pray God would bless you this morning. I pray for physical, spiritual, mental strength for you. Know that it is God that cares. It is God that is concerned. It's God that said it. And if he said it, he's going to do it. If he has spoken it, he is going to bring it to pass. I want you to rejoice in him this morning and make sure that you know this Christ, not just about him, but you know him. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand upon the latter day upon the earth. And even though after this flesh worm, this body destroyed, yet in myself I shall see him whom to know is life eternal. Be blessed this morning. Be highly favored. Have a marvelous day. Yeah.